I'd like to turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. I'll start reading at the 38th verse. It said, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." I'm very glad that this little incident is recorded in the Scripture. The Lord has spoken to me many times through it. This morning I'm thinking about the one thing is needful. That's what Jesus mentioned here. One thing is needful. And it doesn't really necessarily mean that there aren't other needs or other things that need attention. But I believe what he's trying to bring focus on is that the spiritual is more important than the temporal. That is the most needful thing this morning, is our spiritual walk, our spiritual connection to Jesus, our spiritual application of ourselves, seeking the spiritual above the temporal. I believe it's very important for us to keep our heart and mind upon things above, and not be too distracted by the things here that are in this life. I wanted to get, we'll probably come back and look at some more of this, but I want to get another scripture in Genesis, the 25th chapter. Genesis, the 25th chapter, we have an account of Jacob and Esau. In the 27th verse, it said, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day, and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." This scripture came to my mind. What stood out to me, and I don't believe Esau was really at the point of death, but I believe Esau, his natural appetites hindered him. He relished, he held his natural appetites above his birthright. And that's what despised mean. It means he didn't uphold, it wasn't the most valuable thing in his life. It wasn't the most important thing in his life. And he sold his birthright. He despised his birthright. Hebrews talks about for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. And I'm thinking this morning that I believe sometimes our own natural tendencies, our own appetites, and I want to say lawful things, things that we consider okay, that are not evil, lawful things can stand in our way and hinder us from seeking the most important, the one thing that's needful. It can trip us up time and time again. It can be appetites of the eyes. It can be appetites of the mind, appetites of the ears. Different appetites can be so strong in our lives that it hinders us from seeking the thing that is most needful in our lives, putting the spiritual above the physical and keeping it in a place there where I'm, where it should be, where it's honored and esteemed in our lives, that we're really seeking after it with all of our hearts. I noticed in the scripture where Elijah the prophet, when he was sent to the widow woman's house, when the great famine was there in the land, he was sent to the widow woman's house, and he told her, he said, "Make me a cake first, and then you and your son can eat." Now that's, that'd be hard to do. Here's a grown man, which should have been much stronger, you know, should have been able to survive better than this poor widow woman. But I believe he understood the principle of putting God first. And I believe that's what he told her, said, "You make me a cake first," which is representing her putting God first in her life. When we put God first, he has room to work. He has room to do things. He's able to work when he is first place. But if he becomes second place, if he becomes third place, if other things begin to take precedence in our life, and I'm going to say this morning, in the fear of God, that there's a natural gravitational pull on our spirits toward earthly things. Just like gravity, you take something and you throw it up and it comes down. We know what gravity is. There's that pull upon our spiritual man towards earthly things. It's real. It's just like gravity. It pulls. There's a draw. There's a pull upon us away from the thing that is most needful. There are lawful things that will get us in trouble. There are lawful things that begin to take a life of themselves. There are lawful things that we look and we say, "Well, there's nothing wrong with that." But when it begins to consume my mind, it begins to take my thoughts, it begins to consume my time, the time in my life, and I'm missing the one thing that is needful, and the Lord has taken a second place in our life, it's going to hinder what God wants to do. It's going to hinder our prayers. It's going to hinder what God can do with us. It's going to cause things to short circuit and not operate like God wants. And I've been examining my heart. This is a serious thought to me this morning. I've been praying and examining my heart. Lord, is there something that I'm allowing in my life that's taking precedence, that's pulling on me, that has too strong of a pull? Help us to be able to see. Help us to be able to recognize those places that we need to cut off to allow the most needful thing in our life to be paramount, that it be there. And I thought about In this reading, you know, he told Martha, he said, you're careful, you're troubled, you're anxious, there's a lot of things in your heart and your mind that's working. You know, that's a natural result of somebody that's not putting the most needful thing first. That's a natural result. That's a natural outcome. I begin to lose my sight of Jesus, where He's at. I begin to lose my vision. I begin to lose inspiration. I begin to lose sight of His power and what He's able to do. Because these other distractions, these other cares are getting my attention and distracting me. He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part. She took time to sit down at Jesus' feet. She took time to seek God. She was hungry. She was seeking. It didn't look like she was doing anything. To Martha, it looked like she was a bump on a log. But she was absorbing what Jesus was saying. And here Martha was so troubled. That's a natural result of us not putting the thing that's most needful first in our lives. He taught that widow woman, put God first. And Jesus mentioned, He said, seek ye the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I believe if we put God first, if we show Him by our actions, our where we spend our time, what we're doing, what's going on in our mind, what's in our thoughts. You know, the appetite is our mind. It's our eyes. It's our seeing. It's our hearing. The things that we're listening to, those things involved, those natural appetites can stand in our way, and they can be lawful. But they hinder us. They can stand in the way of us receiving from the Spirit of God what God wants us to be able to get a hold of. And I know when we remove those things, when we make sure and we cut those things off. You know, one place He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. He's talking about things that are hindering us. He's talking about things that get in our way, that begin to slow us down spiritually, and we don't have what God wants us to have on hand. Lord, help us today that we tend to gravitate. You know, I don't see God with my natural eyes. I can go out and I can build something, and I can see it. I can see it. And there's a sense of gratification that comes with that. There's something there. You know, in my spiritual life, I don't always see the results of prayer. I don't always see the answers of prayer. I don't always see the requests that come in. I don't always see those things get answered. But there's something natural that draws, because I can see it with my eyes. And it registers with our physical being. And we can resonate with it. But the spiritual is like, you know, it's a different dimension. It's a different level. I was also impressed with reading these scriptures here and earlier in Luke. Luke, the 6th chapter and the 39th verse. He said, can the blind lead the blind? shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Well, that's a high calling, isn't it? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect or matured shall be as his master, which is Jesus. You know, the Lord wants us to be like Jesus. He wants his likeness in us. He said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now, why do you ask this question? Why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter? A mote is something very small, perhaps insignificant. I know the eyes are very sensitive, and something very insignificant can seem very sensitive to the eyes. It don't take very much to hurt the eye. But compared to a beam, he said, why behold, and he calls him brother, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Lord, help us today. Help me. How can I have a beam in my own eye and I don't see it? Everybody else might see it, but I don't see it. And then I'm concerned about getting the mote out of my brother's eye, and I've got the beam in my own eye. How do I get the beam? He said, take out the beam out of your own eye. Then you'll see clearly to help with the mote that's in your brother's eye. I believe we can see more clearly when we're seeking the thing that's most needful. I believe that's how we get the beam out of our eye. When I am putting God not second place or third place, but absolutely first place in my life, above my thoughts, above my wants, above what I want to do, it hits pretty close. It does to me. But I believe that's what it's teaching us. I believe that's what it's saying. When God is absolutely first, number one, we're able to see. You know, the scripture talks about things being spiritually discerned. It says the natural man comprehendeth not the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. He can't see them. He can see the natural things, but he doesn't see the spiritual things. And if we've got the natural things taking up too much of our life, of our energy and of our time, and it's dictating to us in our life, then I don't believe I'm going to be able to see the spiritual and discern the spiritual as well, unless I'm able to put God first and seek the thing that is most needful. I know we live in a busy time. We live in a, but maybe life has always been busy. For every generation. Maybe life has been busy for
past generations as much as us. Probably to them it was. But you know, it still takes time to be holy. It takes time to seek God. It takes time to connect with Him, to hear His voice, to get direction for Him. Can't get it just on the run. I think about the song that says, "Take time to be holy." I know we live in a busy time, but Lord, help us today to scale back if we have to. It was brought out, I don't know, Sunday school. Someone mentioned it. Maybe been Brother Gary about Paul. You know, after he was first saved, it said he went out. He didn't just go to the apostles immediately. It said he went out to the desert 3 years. And those times were times of revelation to him. Those times were when God was revealing himself and showing him the way, opening truth up to his heart and to his mind. And then when he came to the apostles, he said, "They added nothing to me." In other words, he had the same understanding that God had been revealing to the apostles, the Lord had been revealing to him out in the desert the same way. And maybe we can't take 3 years, but there are times that we need to scale back and pull back from the busyness of this world to get a hold of God, to be able to commune with Him. And I believe when we do seek God that way with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, I believe He'll be revealed to our whole. When we desire Him more than money, more than our job, more than... I even thought about our companions and our children. They're lawful. But you know, if we're not careful, we can let them become between us and our relationship with God. We can do that. And it will hinder us. Lawful things. I feel like old age and death. I want to get a scripture in Ecclesiastes 12th chapter. Says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." It's talking about old age, isn't it? Can we come to the place where, you know, we really don't desire things much anymore? I believe we will, the older we get. Verse 5, it says, "And the grasshopper shall be a burden." And it said, "And desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." You know, when you get older, it's like you can say, I've been there, I've done that. I've been there, I've done it. I'm really not interested in that anymore. And I believe the final face of death, facing death, if we have the luxury of, I don't know if I want to call it a luxury or not. If you know you're going to die, it changes your perspective many times. Things that were once so important, things that were once so valuable, that we held on to, that we would not let go of, when we face death, it's not going to mean anything more. It loses its value. There's a song we sing that says, as by the light of opening day the stars are all concealed, so earthly treasures fade away when Jesus is revealed. Lord, help us to have that perspective now. Help us not to have the beams in our eyes because of things earthly that I put too much emphasis on, too much importance on. I know I've seen many, many times perspective has changed when a person is facing eternity. I believe the Lord can give us that true perspective now. Just not facing death. I believe we can have that perspective if we seek out the thing that's most needful with all of our hearts. Jesus can reveal to us the spiritual things that we need to see, that we need to know, and that we need to understand. Appreciate your attention. Pray for me.